Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back in. It's Nick Shepkowski and Kevin Zipak today. We're in for the Spiegel and Parkins show from 9 until 1. You can catch them each and every day. You can watch them online at watch670thescore.com.
You're sitting in the power chair.
I am in the power chair.
Does that make you Parkins and does that make me Spiegel?
I can't do it. I can't answer that question. Do you have a Spiegel impression for me?
I do, but I don't want to offend anybody. So,
it's Nick Shepkowski, Kevin Zipak with you, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And in an hour brought to you by Sport Clips Haircuts, it's good to be a guy. The sound you heard there, the voices of Scott Boras, John Heyman, Joe Madden. Who are they discussing? None other than World Series hero, one of the most epic runs by a pitcher you'll ever see. He performed that in the late summer of 2015.
It's not bad, not bad.
Not bad whatsoever. Talking about one Jake Arrieta. And I bring that up today. John, in the Chicago Sun-Times, Gordon Wittenmeyer wrote an interesting piece, I thought, today about you hear the Cubs so much in on Yu Darvish. And when people heard that, maybe it wasn't what they walked into the offseason expecting, thinking, oh, Yu Darvish could be a Cub. Well, you kind of thought, oh, he had an injury 2-3 years ago. Do you trust him to stay healthy with that? It's going to be too much to cost, too much to pay him. And you see what Alex Cobb is looking for, the free agent pitcher from Tampa Bay, and what he might be getting north of $20 million annually.
That is preposterous,
no one
isn't
saw
it?
That coming, or at least to get to this point of where those discussions really might be being had. And all of a sudden, because of that, Cobb prices himself so up and the market goes up that Darvish's comes back to maybe being a bit more of a bargain. So I ask you at 312-644-6767, text welcome as well, 67011. Yu Darvish or Jake Arrieta, is the difference that big for you?
You know, obviously you have to factor in how many years are on the contract. I think that's a big...
Right. They're essentially the same age.
If we're talking, yeah, they're about the same age. I think Darvish is just a few months younger.
Three or five months.
It's negligible.
Yeah.
But if all things are considered and we're talking the same price and the same amount of years, you can either have Yu Darvish or you can have Jake Arrieta. You know, I would still probably lean toward Darvish. There are injury concerns with him. I know he... in a contract year, he made 31 starts for just the second, or over 30 starts, I should say, for just the second time in his career. But if you eliminate 2015 from Jake Arrieta's resume, and I know that's kind of asinine to even say, because if you take out 2015 from Jake Arrieta's resume,
that's the old Ronstadt thing. Lonnie, after games, used to always, well, you take out the 60-yard run and they only average three yards a carry.
We lost by about 40 points, but I mean,
you take out the two long touchdown runs by Edgar Bennett and it's a game. Okay.
Yeah, Merton Hanks picked us off a couple times. Take that out of the equation.
If you take out 2015 from Arrieta's resume, he doesn't have one season where he's thrown 200 innings. And when you're trying to give a guy...
Well, how much of that's by design, too? How much of that is 2016, he had 197.1.
Is that 200? Do you want to do a little quick math here?
Okay, but I'm saying... Was it his decision, oh, he can't go 200 innings, or was that because of the workload of almost 230 the year before?
Well, it's because he can't get out of the damn fifth inning half the time when he's in there.
Lately, yes. You are right about that. And that's the part of the Arrieta discussion where I kind of turn my head to this idea of, oh, he got to come back, and where the signs are that Jake Arrieta is not Jake Arrieta of 20. No. No one's Jake Arrieta of 2015.
No, of course not.
Like, that's absurd to think.
Not only will he not ever return to that level, we might not ever see anybody at that level he was at the second half of 2015.
But kind of where he was in 2016 as a whole, that season, like, is that fair to look at Jake Arrieta and say that that's where you feel comfortable with him being for a couple of seasons? Or is it more taking another dip in 2017, which he did?
He did. He dipped pretty hard last year. You know, you saw him
in a contract year, which we always, if we're gonna make it so much about, oh, well, in a contract year, a guy overperforms. How much do you take away from him in a contract year being underperforming and earn run average of 3.5 versus a guy that was 3.1 a year previous?
Gave up a lot of home runs last year. He was injured. You know, there were a lot of...
Yeah, dealt with the hamstring issue late in the season. Still did make 30 starts.
You heard some weird complaints from Arrieta.
Too sweaty.
Excuse-making.
Yeah, it's too hot in the summer all of a sudden.
That was it. That was the only time. How many years have they been playing baseball in the United States?
Last year was the first summer that was overly hot.
That was
the first
one?
Yeah.
Climate change.
That was one thing about the 2017 Cubs. As a Cubs fan myself,
excuses.
The excuse tree was way too much. Oh, too much Sunday night baseball, too much late travel.
Oh, the signage, I don't like the color of the signage here at Busch Stadium. Oh, it's too many night games, too many day games. Oh, it's too hot out. Oh, the World Series hangover, even though it's August. Come on, what was that?
Well, that's when they started to turn it on.
That was when the hangover finally had downed enough Gatorade and drank.
Aspirin, the Tylenol finally kicked in.
They went and got their Popeyes.
Yeah, Popeyes or McDonald's or whatever it might be, whatever your weapon of choice is for that. Portillo's, always an underrated go-to in that.
Oh, I don't have to be hungover to go to Portillo's.
Well,
are you kidding me?
That,
we should get some of that delivered here today, right, as a matter of fact. They deliver now.
Do they really?
Yeah.
All right, so what are we waiting for?
Tony?
Tony's on the phone. He's not listening to us.
Tony's screening calls. He's actually doing his job. We're sitting here talking about what we want for lunch. It does sound damn good, though. Portillo's?
But is that
Portillers?
Entirely with you. I think that's something we have to do before, like, get the food by noon.
The Portillers.
But on that, like, is that gap that wide? Is it you, Darvish, is it off a cliff to get to Jake Arrieta for you? Or is that a serious consideration that if you're, like you said, money, terms of the contract, everything's the same. Like, is that an actual discussion that there is to be had? Because off the top of my head, my thought was, oh my God, it's you, Darvish, by miles on this. It's really not even close.
If you, off the top of your head, you think that, but then
you break it down
a little
bit.
You delve into it a little.
And
right,
in one of the discussions that's often had, because of the usage, because it's different there than it is here, of how when players, pitchers specifically, come from Japan to the United States, and make their, instead of, like, for example, a lot of the Ohtani signing and the, not worry, but a lot of the
apprehension,
questions that were raised about, sure, that were, he pitches once a week. What's it going to be when he pitches every 5 days? Oh, and play in the outfield or designated hit a couple times a week as well. How is he going to make that transition? Well, you've seen the fall off there, whether it's Daisuke Matsusaka, Hideo Nomo, other pitchers who have come over and tried to make that transition have struggled, especially after their third year here. So does that bring it down for you, Darvish, for you as well, with a guy that has had arm problems already in his past?
He's had a few arm problems. 2016 was a big injury year for him, only made 17 starts. But the fact that he's been around now and, you know,
well,
take
he
out
came
that,
back halfway through 2016.
He did.
2015
he did.
Was the year that he would.
2015, he didn't pitch
that
at all.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, you look at what he did when he first came over here, and you see a lot of consistency, and you see some things. Actually, the walk rate has gone down every year, more or less, for him. So that's good to see. Strikeout rate has been about the same. It's just, you know, you do bring up a pretty good point in terms of a guy who has already missed an entire season and a half. He was obviously able to rebound a little bit here in 2017, made 31 starts, pitched well in the postseason until the World Series, which I think is also a big sticking point here for a lot of Cub fans. You know, they didn't get to see a lot of Yu Darvish, given the fact that the Rangers, you know, aren't exactly a marquee, nationally televised franchise every week. You didn't see much of him there. He went out to the Dodgers. You didn't see him much because the games were on late until the postseason, perhaps. So the last thing people saw from Yu Darvish was him getting lit up in the World Series. And, you know, there's a lot of recency bias there, and maybe he was tipping his pitches.
I don't think there's a maybe about it.
No.
The Astros were pretty open about exactly what he was doing with his hand, whether it was an off-speed pitch coming or a breaking ball, I should say, coming, or if it was a fastball or changeup coming. He was tipping that. They were pretty outspoken about that right after the World Series of, yeah, that's what's going on there. If that can't be fixed at the Major League level, I don't know what can be fixed.
Can Jim Hickey fix you, Darvish?
Boo-hoo, we're breaking it down now. 312-644-6767. But when you add up all these numbers and you look at it, and I don't, I like using the WAR stat for reference.
It's not the end all be all, but yes, I know where you're going with this.
But especially a pitcher, I don't love it because, like, Kyle Hendricks has WAR work against him. Oh, he pitches the contact more. Well, if you have a great defense, I don't think a pitcher should be punished.
WAR is very favorable toward strikeout guys.
Yes. Like, I don't think a pitcher should be punished when you're evaluating him. Oh, I have a great defense behind me. Then pitch to a lot of ground balls and let my awesome defensive infield behind me make a lot of plays.
Yeah, I think Kyle Hendricks is fantastic. Like, but if you just looked at his metric numbers, you know, that they wouldn't tell that.
But just for reference here and people thinking that Yu Darvish, oh, he had a down year, maybe not what you think of Yu Darvish, was worth 3.5 wins last year according to FanGraphs. Not like light it up for just a little conversation piece here and to give you a little reference on it. Jake Arrieta, when he had his historic run in 2015, was worth 7.3 wins because every time he went out there was like a 90%
actually
chance
seems
of
low.
I kind of agree with you.
When you remember how good.
Like, I don't remember his April or May, but after the All-Star break, it was like, all right, Cubs got a run
there
in the third. This one's over.
Doubt every single time he went out there. When he gave up a run, you were just floored because it didn't happen at all. It was just, it was unearthly.
I've never seen anything like that, and I don't know if we will.
I doubt it.
But Yu Darvish last year being worth 3.5 wins, and like you said, it favors guys that are big in strikeouts, low in walks,
which he is,
and has been improved on. When you look at the numbers throughout his career, those have been better. Last year, you care to guess what the Cubs' leader in pitcher WAR was, who it was, and how high it was?
Last season?
Because I wouldn't have guessed
this. It's not Brett Anderson, is it?
It was not.
Butler?
He's still looking for an excuse. It's the pitching coach's fault that he's given up like 9 runs or whatever in the first inning to the Yankees that day.
I would probably guess last year that it was John Lester.
It was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed John Lester.
Well, I was going to say Hendricks, but he missed some time as well.
Lester had a couple of those starts that...
Boy,
oof.
I was at that game against Pittsburgh.
It was
where
the last
he gave
day
up
before
like,
the All-Star break.
I was at that game with old Dennis Gambino. Shout out to Mitch Rosen for the tickets, by the way. We were at that game, and we got there a little late.
This ball game's over.
He was out of the game before we even walked through the gate. It's like, oh, so much,
like 12
so much for seeing John Lester today.
I was hosting after that game, and I remember like, oh, Cubs game's starting. I got to get on the road and get down to the office. Like, get down to the office, he's still in the first inning with like one out. What is going on? Like,
that was fun.
He was worth 2.7 wins this past season.
Which for him is a down year
as
well.
It is a down year for John Lester.
If we're talking about the Cubs rotation as a whole, you have to worry about Lester and where he's at in his career trajectory as well. A lot of mileage on that arm, and he's, what, 33 now? You know, for as many deep postseason runs as he's been through with Boston and now with the Cubs, you have to worry if we've seen the best of John Lester as well.
Well, I would think we've seen the best of John Lester. Like, isn't that kind of safe to say at this point?
Well, I think his style lends itself to a guy who would be able to pitch pretty deep into his career. You know, he was injured last year a little bit as well, which we haven't seen from him either too much. I think he just went on the DL once before that during his time with Boston. So is that just another fluke thing, or is that indicative of his future, you know, being a guy who now with, like I said, with all the mileage on his arm, a little bit more injury prone going forward. You know, when we're talking about the Darvish Arrieta thing, it's not just about that spot in the rotation.
It's about the whole rotation.
We have to take a greater look at it. You know, I think Kyle Hendricks is now the number one. Would you argue with that?
Who do you have more confidence sending out there right now?
Nobody. Absolutely not.
I mean, Jose Quintana would be in the discussion for me.
He would be in the discussion.
But I would still side with Kyle Hendricks.
I agree. I would agree with you. And you know I love Jose Quintana, obviously. But I think Kyle Hendricks.
Obvious?
Because I'm a White Sox fan, and he's still one of ours.
I don't know if I should share it. Yeah, screw it. I'll share it on the air.
I have a buddy
who drives for Uber, right? Drives an Uber, part-time job, works a different job, and earn a couple extra bucks. He drives for Uber. And the day the Cubs and Sox were playing at Wrigley, I believe it was the day the Cubs and Sox played at Wrigley.
Wrigley Field?
Jose Quintana was on the hill. And so my buddy is driving an Uber in the morning, and he gets an alert that this man needs to be picked up at a hotel pretty close to right over here, hotel downtown. His name is Juan. He looks at the guy's picture, and he's like, that looks like someone else. So he makes the pickup, and the guy says, oh, I have to go to Wrigley Field, the special entrance, whichever entrance this is. And my buddy, who's a lifelong Southsider, diehard White Sox fan, looks, and he's like, your name's not Juan, you're Jose Quintana. He's like, you're pitching today. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm the Cubs hitting coach.
Chili Davis?
He's like, you're not the hitting coach. You're the starting pitcher. He's like, I loved you with
so
the Sox.
So he tried playing coy.
So he did it the whole ride.
Wow. Jose.
He's like, no, I'm not Jose Quintana. I'm the hitting coach. Like, you're no damn hitting coach.
You're not John Maley. I know John Maley, and you, sir, are no John Maley.
But that was Jose Quintana, apparently just like you and me, takes an Uber to Wrigley Field or to the local ballpark to get to the game.
That's interesting. How about that?
And tries to play off as
a hitting
coach instead.
Well, when I get a Lyft, actually, when I signed up for it, I entered my name as Kevbo. So now whenever my Lyft driver pulls up, they're like, hey, are you Kevbo? And I'm a little bit ashamed and embarrassed because
I feel good about yourself because you're like, oh, man, hey, that's my nickname. My Twitter name. This guy recognizes me. How big of a deal I am.
And I've never changed it because as much as it is horrifying at times, I still do get a little bit of a tickle inside me.
That's Kevbo. Kevin Zipak. I'm Nick Stepkowski. This segment brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time. Use Spot Hero anytime you park downtown. First-time users can enter promo code CITY for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. 312-644-6767. Is the gap between Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish that much? What's the difference between the two to you, confidence-wise? How would you feel about kind of reopening that Arrieta discussion and him coming back to be in the Cubs rotation for not just next year, but for the foreseeable future? 312-644-6767. Nick Szczepkowski, Kevin Zipak with you, 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
1026 Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. It's Nick Szczepkowski and Kevin Zipak in for the Spiegel and Parkins show this morning. Hope you had a great Christmas, enjoying your Boxing Day. Can you explain what Boxing Day is to me? What all the gifts you don't like, you rebox and give them to someone else? Is that what you do?
No, you don't give them to someone else. You box them up. It's pretty self-explanatory. The name.
So you box them
and right in the name of the day.
You box them and you put them in the basement or what?
I mean, why are you making this more difficult than it
you
needs to be?
You just told me it was self-explanatory and now I have no idea what it is. You told me you put them in a box.
You put your gifts away in boxes and you put away, you know, your holiday decorations if you want to do that too.
Okay.
And I know some people like to keep them up through the new year, but it's Boxing Day.
That means nothing to me. Your explanation was horrible.
Do you know what a box is?
Yes, I know what a box is.
Do you know how to put things inside of a box?
I hope so.
Well, then you should know.
What goes in the box again?
You can put anything in the box. You can put away your gifts that you got for Christmas, or you can put away your holiday decorations. Maybe if you had a big feast, you put the food in boxes. Maybe not that. But the first two, it's really, you guys are making it more difficult than it needs to be.
I don't understand what the mission is of Boxing Day. So just to put your items in a box.
What, do you live in squalor? You just have things all over your home? You don't have boxes?
Have you seen me?
I've seen you, but I figure Ashley have the place tidied up.
When she screams at me and yells at me and tells me to, then it gets screams picked up howls? For a day. Yes. Yeah, screams and howls, and
can
she
we
talks
talk
about soccer.
Can we talk about the Screamers and Howlers podcast for
absolutely
a bit?
Not. During a commercial break, you and I can. That's as much soccer discussion.
Full slate of soccer today, so you're lucky that I agreed to do this show with you today here, and I'm going to miss all of the soccer games today because Boxing Day is one of the biggest soccer days of the Premier
League
season.
Let's not kid ourselves. I'm doing you a favor having you miss this soccer because what are you really missing? Not a whole heck of a lot. Nick Szczepkowski.
I could be warm in my bed right now.
You could be, but you'd probably fail to accomplish that too.
I'm pretty warm actually now that we're inside. The commute wasn't great. But we're here now, and have you warmed up? Because you were complaining about being cold.
About the last 15 minutes or so, I finally have. I had a chill when I walked in at about 7:30, and I could not kick it to save my life.
It was that baseball talk that we just got into, that warmed
you up. Finally. Yeah, it's the cold-hearted John Fox and Ryan Pace didn't do it for me, but talking about baseball and a little hot stove. 93 days to go till opening day.
Oh, yeah?
I just saw that. Somebody tweeted that.
I was going to say, I know you didn't do that math yourself.
Which, it doesn't seem like that long, but yet at the same time feels like forever.
Well, you know what? The way I look at it, weather-wise, you know, you've got your big four.
Weather-wise.
What was that?
Lovey. It's a terrible Lovey impression.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Injury-wise.
you've got your big four winter months of November, December, January, February. We're basically halfway through it.
It's very true.
I mean, January and February will suck, but we're halfway there.
And I learned from Tom Skilling years ago while watching one of his weathercasts.
Skilling the god.
that on like February 3rd or 4th, the average temperature, because it bottoms out, starts to go up. So all we have to do is get to that and it'll start warmer.
I think this week we might bottom
out. Oh my
God. There's a lot of negatives in the forecast coming up.
This segment, the award-winning, Marconi-winning segment that this was, or will be, brought to you by Dell. Dell Small Business Advisors help you get in the right solution. Get up to 35% off select business PCs with Intel Core processors through December. Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL. Jake Arrieta, Yu Darvish, more conversation to be had after this very quick scoreboard update.
A lot of people giving me crap here on the text line about Boxing Day. Apparently, not only did I not explain it properly, but
properly, you didn't give an explanation.
I just kind of talked around in circles. But
you're
here's
good at that.
The 309.
You do radio. You do talk radio. Sometimes that's a must.
Sometimes you have to do it. 309 texter says
three technique.
Kev Bo is very wrong. He should look these things up before he tells us what they mean. The holiday goes back to Great Britain when the servants had the day off after Christmas because they had been working the previous day for their employers. I've never seen any mention of boxing up Christmas lights as a reason for the day being called Boxing Day.
So. All right, here's what I have. Arguments come thick and fast to why, and I hope, like me, you find answers below interesting. Okay, this is from thespruce.com.
Where are you getting this from?
I was just sent this. It's from thespruce.com.
Okay.
Not thebruce.com. That's thespruce.com. The most straightforward answer would be that we are all a little greedy here in the UK and Ireland in wanting more extended holiday. It is not enough for us to have only Christmas Day celebrations. We have added this other event called Boxing Day. But the answer is not that simple as to what it is. Boxing Day is a national bank holiday. This still doesn't tell me what it is. A day to spend with family and friends and to eat up all the leftovers of Christmas Day. The origins of the day, however, are steeped in history tradition. Arguments on the origins of Boxing Day. All answer below. A Christmas box in Britain is a name for a Christmas present. Boxing Day, traditionally a day off for certain. Yeah, it's. I still don't understand why a day off for the servants means Boxing Day. Throw on the gloves and go to fisticuffs? Like, box. I
not like literal boxing.
I understand.
But I don't think that we did anybody any good with that.
I'm more confused.
Particular discussion.
I'm sure if I keep reading, but I'm not one to just read things.
No, you can barely read as it is.
Kid can't even read. That was Jake Arrieta you heard coming back from the update there before Game 4 of the NLCS, NLDS, which you heard before they took on the Nationals. He would make that start. He would make one more start in a Cubs uniform as they beat the Dodgers in Game 4 of the NLCS 3-2, and Jake Arrieta was very good that night, you might remember, against the Dodgers. He was trying to talk about the soaking up of memories and trying not to lose his emotions get the best of him or anything like that down the stretch, making his final few starts there for the Cubs. And now the discussion is reopened of, were those the final last few starts with the Cubs? Does it make more sense to pursue Jake Arrieta long-term? Long-term being 3-5 years. Or does it make more sense to go after Yu Darvish? Who are you more comfortable with and why? 312-644-6767. Joliet and Keith has been holding for quite some time. Keith, you're on 670 The Score.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. It's freezing out here, but this...
Please tell me you're not working outside today.
Okay. Well, I'm on my lunch break, but I drive a truck and in and out of it all day. So
bless your heart.
Talking baseball. But, you know, I think what a lot of guys are kind of... looking past is the fact that the Cubs, I think, with the way they depleted their farm system and trades and bringing everyone up and such, is I think they're really going to value those compensatory draft picks that they're going to get for Arrieta and Wade Davis. And that's why, if you look at it in that aspect, if you sign Yu Darvish, you're getting Yu Darvish and a draft pick, and with the way that they hit on their prospects, you got to imagine that it's in all likelihood, whether it's an asset or somebody that comes up and helps the ball club, you know, in the next few years, it's something that it would be more valuable to them to help replenish that farm system. And I would like to see Darvish and another player versus signing Jake Arrieta and his recent performances also. So.
Appreciate the telephone call there, Keith. I'm kind of on board with you on Arrieta. You remember the good. Forget the good. You remember the great of, we discussed 2015 at length. But he's also a guy that, I don't know, pitcher wins when you're evaluating a pitcher aren't very useful. He had two wins in a World Series.
Yeah, I mean, and
a team that hadn't won in 108 years.
They were staring down the barrel there, down 3-1 in that World Series versus Cleveland, and Arrieta was probably the best starting pitcher they had in that series. He kept them in it.
His game two start, he took a no-hitter into, what, the sixth inning or so? And then in game six, yes, he got all the run support in the world and
still,
a seven
you
spot
gotta,
in the second or third inning,
still
but
make
he performed
pitches.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you do have to factor that in as well.
Yeah, factor that into the future contract of anything? Like, when you say you factor that in...
I mean, you can't say that his World Series performance in 2016 will be indicative of what he'll do in the postseason going forward, but he is a guy who is very, for lack of a better term, just cool on the mound. You know, even keeled, doesn't really show a lot of emotion, seems like a very kind of stone-faced, stoic-type guy out there, just goes about his business, focused in trying to make his pitches... And when you're in the postseason, I do think that matters. I think even as he depreciates as a pitcher, as an actual thrower of the ball, some guys still do have that kind of next level that they can take and do that killer instinct, for lack of a better term, that postseason experience. And I think Jake has that, and that's something that you don't lose even if your skills diminish.
Yeah, I think it's something to consider. But I mean, for a team that's run by Theo Epstein, what he did in Boston, and how many guys that were, I mean, forget that they were traded for and steals of all deals, which is what Arrieta was with when he came over with Pedro Strop from the Orioles. That was one of the all-time one-sided trades you'll see in not just Cubs history, but baseball history. Like, with all that considered, I mean, Theo's a guy that let how many guys walk from that 04 Red Sox team? All right, not going to get in a bidding war over him, whether it was Johnny Damon eventually playing for the Yankees, Jacoby Ellsbury eventually leaving there. Not saying Jake Arrieta, it's different when you factor pitcher versus position player, everyday player, but he's not been a guy that's necessarily been one that, all right, well, you got to keep this guy around just for because of what he did in memorable moments.
And especially when guys are in that late 20, early to 30 range. You know, Theo Epstein is the best in the business at what he does. And his track record pretty much shows that 9 times out of 10, the move that he makes is the right one. Now, you could count Jason Hayward against that, made the Carl Crawford deal back in Boston. A couple of miscues there, but far more hits than misses. And if you look at his history, I wouldn't anticipate Darvish or Arrieta signing with the Cubs. It just doesn't seem like a Theo move, but they do have that, you know, vacancy right there in the rotation. You're missing somebody. I don't think Alex Cobb is the answer, especially if he wants $20 million a year.
200 innings with Arrieta. Alex Cobb's a guy, get me to 150.
Yeah, and you'll be lucky with that.
Yeah.
And he's 30. It's not like we're talking about a guy who's 24, 25 years old whose best years are ahead of him. Alex Cobb is what, a year younger than Arrieta and Darvish. So I don't know what he's smoking where he thinks that he's going to warrant that kind of cash, and everybody just thought it was going to happen because of the Madden, the Hickey situation here, and Cobb knows those guys. But, boy, if you're going to be paying him $18, $19, $20 million a year, I just don't see that one happening.
Yeah, I wish I was worth a damn as a pitcher. Wish my fastball topped out at more than, like, 65 miles an hour.
Is that what you were working with, about a 65-mile-per-hour?
I didn't play baseball after, after eighth grade, I want to say, was the last year I played baseball. So wasn't exactly fully grown, but I wasn't lighting up the radar gun beforehand either.
You're more of a Kyle Hendricks, pitch to contact guy.
I mean, when I think I'm going to outsmart you. Pitch to light contact.
I don't think you've ever outsmarted anybody in your life.
I'll outsmart you. I don't know how, but I will. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. We will go out to the great state of Wisconsin. Welcome in Derek. He has thoughts on the Cubs and Arrieta. What's up today, Derek?
Hey, guys. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. If it was me, I would want to keep Arrieta rather than go for Darvish. And here's why. With Arrieta, you know what you have, right? If you get Darvish, he's another somebody that's got potential. But to me, when I watch him, he's got things that you got to fix. He reminds me like Hayward. You get Hayward in and you hope that he's going to become this, and then it just doesn't pan out. I think the same thing with Darvish. Well, you're taking a risk with that guy. There's really no risk other than the health for Arrieta. And I think he's good chemistry in the locker room. Again, he showed what he can do in the postseason. If you got to spend a little more money, sign him to a 3-year deal. Just keep the chemistry, keep the leadership, and I'd rather go with a known variable than go with somebody where we got to fix. I'm not interested in somebody that's not going to.
But with that, Derek, and appreciate the telephone call, but I want to ask you: do you know what Jake Arrieta is? Like, do you feel comfortable saying for 2018 through 20, say you even get him on a team-friendly three-year deal, all best things considered here. Do you even know what Jake Arrieta is probably going to give you the next 3 years?
I know what he's done the last 2 years, and to me that's a better risk than taking Cobb, who's got a history of injury.
Definitely.
And Darvish, who's had some, who seems to have some mental issues to his game. It kind of reminds me a lot of Hayward. I'm not interested in that. I'd rather go with what I've seen for the last 2 years and hope that it keeps and continues. Or even if you have to move Arrieta down in the rotation, I know that I feel a lot more confident and comfortable in what I'm going to get over the next 3 years with Arrieta than people that have issues that I may be have to fix and health issues. I'm not interested in that.
Appreciate the telephone call there. Yeah, I assume by the issues that Derek was kind of touching on there, he's probably thinking the World Series and the tipping of pitches. But you, Darvish, I don't look at him and be like a guy that's like, oh, can't have him in the postseason.
No,
guy,
I mean,
when he's on, he's...
He was good during the NLCS, right? I mean, he shut down the Cubs there for at least one game, if my memory serves. And we talked a little bit about Theo Epstein not giving out long contracts to pitchers in their early 30s. 217 Texter brings up the fact that they did give Lester
six
a big
years.
Deal at 31 years old. I think the difference there is you can appreciably see a downgrade from Arrieta year by year by year from the past three seasons. Of course, he was always going to regress after 2015, but then you see the WAR dip from 7.3 to 3.8 to just 2.4 last year, and you don't want to give a guy on that trend that kind of money where it looks like the pattern reads out pretty clearly that he's going to be regressing year by year by year, and he has.
Yeah, I don't look at Jake Arrieta and know what he's going to be next year, let alone 2 years from now.
Yeah, and like, he's going to want about five.
Yeah, and north of $100 million. If Alex Cobb is going to get $20 million a year, Jake Arrieta is damn well going to get $20 million a year. Like, it's
no question about
crazy.
I mean, this is the time we live in.
Or dish pitchers. Out a $100 million contract for a guy that I have real questions about going forward from here. I mean, you've seen him since. I mean, what was it that made him so great in the end of 15, start of 2016? It was that cutter that a lot of people were swinging at. It wasn't even in the strike zone. It appeared to be in the strike zone when it was coming at you, but once guys started taking that pitch, that's when you started to see his decline in innings pitch because he wasn't getting deep into games. His walk rate went up a ton because guys were simply laying off of that pitch that was damn near unhittable, and you saw him have to readjust. And he's still a fine pitcher. Don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here saying Jake Arrieta is a bum. I trust him more than the vast majority of pitchers.
More than Alex Cobb?
Yes, I would trust him more than Alex Cobb. I would feel better about him than Alex Cobb. But with that said, still see that it's a declining player.
Okay, what if you can get Arrieta for a relatively short-term deal? Let's say 3 years, but you have to overpay for those 3 years. Let's say 3 years, $80 million.
So you're looking at what? That's like 26 and some change per year for him?
Is that a little bit more palatable to you? You pay a little bit more now, but you don't have that tail end of the deal where those years usually come back and bite you?
Yeah, you're not paying for like 35-year-old, 36-year-old Jake Arrieta then. I think that helps, but then does that prohibit me from signing or being in the running to signing some of the big names that are free agents next
Harper,
year?
Harper, Machado, those
like
type of guys.
Like the stars of stars type of guys that are going to be in the free agent market next year.
You know, I don't think it should. You know, when you look at what the Cubs have on their payroll right now,
money.
The only guys they're really paying right now are Hayward, Lester, and Zobrist, right? For the most
part.
There are probably a couple that I'm not missing, but those are the big-ish deals. You know, you have guys like Rizzo. Rizzo has a long-term deal.
But that was one of the team-friendly ones.
Very team-friendly deal, especially for
the
caliber of player that he's at.
Yeah.
You're not paying Brian anything. Russell, Baez, Schwarber, all of those young guys are still under team control for a long time. You have all of this money. You know, the Cubs are one of the most profitable franchises in sports, not even just in baseball. And they're still growing year by year as a brand as they continue to develop and make the renovations in and around Wrigley Field and continue to win and be in contention year after year. They're going to keep growing. You have the television network still that we've been hearing about for years. That's going to be another windfall. They should have as much money to spend as anybody. I'm talking about Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers type money. The Cubs, there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to spend. And there's no reason they shouldn't be able to overpay a little bit more for Arrieta now and still be able to be in the sweepstakes for a Harper or a Machado.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I would be hesitant on, of knowing the actual financials and what's going to be allotted to payroll. But you're right. They should be, theoretically, they should be right up there with anyone on what
sure.
their payroll,
and,
potential payroll
probably
could
a lot,
be.
Not a lot of money that they've sent to super PACs and everything like that, but there should be a lot more money for baseball left as well.
That's Kevin Zipak. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. That segment brought to you by ADT. Home isn't just a place. It's the feeling of knowing you're safe. ADT lets you take that feeling with you. Learn more at ADT.com. And don't forget to tune into Monday, every Monday. It's Built Ford Tough Bears Mondays, brought to you by your local Ford stores. 312-644-6767. What's going on with the Bears? What's going on with the potential coaching search? We'll try to sort that out with Michael Lombardi. He joins us about 15 minutes from now on 670 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back in. Nick Szczepkowski, Kevin Zipak with you. 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. As we continue to talk some baseball, went over the Arrieta and Yu Darvish saga. Who are the Cubs going to sign? How are they going to fill out their pitching rotation for 2018 and beyond? 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. As we're with you up until 1 o'clock today, coming up about 10 minutes from now, it will be one Michael Lombardi. This is staying on the baseball team we haven't mentioned yet, and I don't know, because of what they're expecting in 2018, how much they merit conversation today. But as a White Sox fan, when you heard them being announced as, oh, they're in the running.
Sure.
They're offering a huge package for Manny Machado. Did you buy any of it? And two, what was the feel? Because I was left, I'm not a Sox fan, but mine was pure and utter confusion. Okay, how
are you doing? That's right. I don't know if I bought it entirely. I wanted to believe. It was kind of an X-Files vibe where there are inklings and rumors, and you've got Rick Hahn coming out and saying, you know, oh, we're open to anything and we're not going to rule anything out. And just because we haven't given out a huge contract before doesn't mean we won't do it in the future. So there were signs there where I wanted to kind of buy into the Machado thing. And I know that Baltimore, initially when the report came out that Machado was being shopped, that one, he wanted to play shortstop, and two, Baltimore was looking for young pitching. I thought, that's great, because the White Sox have a lot of young pitching.
More pitching for the Orioles to screw up on
their
own. I
was going to say, I don't know what Baltimore's going to do with all that pitching. They've never really had... What was the last good pitcher that Baltimore's had? Arrieta, and then they traded him away.
Right, but he wasn't good there.
Exactly.
He was like the actual last one you look at. That's a non-bullpen, non-closer. Who's the last actual starting pitcher? It's not Mike Mussina.
Mike Mussina, no?
Right, that's what pops into my head.
Well,
it's got to be somebody
who should be in the
that.
Hall of Fame, by the way.
I agree with you.
Okay. No, I thought that maybe when the Machado rumors first kind of popped up, and the White Sox aren't going to trade Michael Kopech. They're not going to trade Eloy Jimenez. They're not going to trade any of these tippy-top prospects. So, you know, you're banding it about with some of your friends, saying, okay, maybe Giolito and Dunning, or maybe Lopez and Cease. You know, you put together kind of that next tier of names. Maybe a couple of those guys you throw in Tim Anderson, because if Machado's coming here to play shortstop, you don't need Tim Anderson. So there are packages that make sense, but the sticking point really was, why would you trade those guys if Machado's coming here for 1 year and then, you know, going to sign with the Yankees or whomever for $250, $300
Dodgers,
million? Dollars. The Dodgers,
be.
Sure. So when there was still that idea that maybe you could get him here, trade for him, and then negotiate a long-term deal, that was great. I was thinking, hell yeah, let's go in on this, and let's get Manny Machado here. We'll trade a couple pitchers, get him in, sign him up long-term. But then the other report came out saying, no, he's going to free agency. He's not an idiot.
You think?
So that kind of poured a lot of water on the idea there, and that is the extent of our White Sox talk for the
day. I had initially thought, I'm like, oh, that has to be an Orioles move. The Orioles had to leak that to Bob Nightingale. But
your guy.
That's right, my guy. Clearly, my guy, Bob Nightingale. But even that, I don't know if it makes sense, because it's just, what benefit do the White Sox have? It's so far-fetched that I don't know where that news necessarily came from for Bob Nightingale.
No, and I don't believe that the White Sox are going to contend in 2018. I know a lot of people are excited because you do have the beginnings. You're giving me the eye right now, and I'm going to
be... Who are these people?
White Sox fans.
Contend for what?
There are dozens of us. Dozens.
Dozens, no, and dozens. You know, you and Tony both looking nine me down.
Tony's a White Sox guy as well. Eli as well, who was here earlier.
For sure.
Go White Sox. But if you look at the foundation, there's obviously promising parts here, and you see other teams around the league that are quote-unquote a year early sometimes. I don't think the White Sox are going to be that in 2018. But Manny Machado, if you get him, that would get you a little bit closer.
It would get you closer,
yes.
But also get you further away in 2019 because he would be wearing a Dodgers
and
uniform.
And that's the problem.
Or
that's the problem.
Yankees uniform or something other than the black and white. We have to pause for a timeout. 312-644-6767. Michael Lombardi will break down the NFL as a whole, talk about Ted Phillips and the news that came out on him. This segment brought to you by KFC. KFC's signature pot pie is filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken and veggies and topped with golden flaky crust, all for just $3.99. KFC, it's finger looking good. Michael Lombardi next on 670 The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.